I've seen this, and my heart is always broken because I miss my people. I don't mean to offend you in any way, but that's my home. And my wife and I are excited to be here. And we're coming here specifically to thank you for being a partner with us. In Psalm 105, it says, to make known His wondrous works. And what you just saw was making known His wonderful works. And what you saw is what you invested in. This is the result of your investment in God's work, in His ministry. You ought to be excited about that. When I was pastoring in Cheyenne, I used to tell them, I had some ladies, and there's probably ladies in here, and there's nothing wrong with it. Don't misunderstand me. I had some ladies who used to clip a bunch of, they used to go into the newspaper and they look for sales and they see all these sales and they'd clip out, they called them clipping coupons out of here. And it had great value to them because they could stretch God's money and buy lots of stuff for a little bit of money. And they just said, I'd listen to them and I'd say, I clipped this coupon today or I clipped that coupon today. And I want you to know on a spiritual level, what you saw here today, you as a church people can clip spiritual coupons because all these people will get saved is because of you. You're helping us. And I want to say thank you for that. What a wonderful thing. I couldn't do what you did. There's lots and lots of work. And God has done just the absolutely impossible. We have reached for it. You've helped us to reach for it. And I had a pastor who came. He pastored for 8 years, a national man. He came to my school, and within 2 months of teaching, we just start basic, chronological teaching. You saw how uneducated these people are. This is really third world, and it's very remote where we are. We are in the swamps, and that dinghy you saw, that boat, it's a 23-foot U-boat. That's like you came here in your car. That's my car. That's my car. That's my four-wheel drive. That's my pickup. That's my car. That's whatever you want it to be. That's what it is. That's how we travel. In the bush, there is no vehicles. In the highway, it's like deer trails. Okay, and this pastor came, and he sat under us, him and his wife, for 2 months. And at the end of 2 months, he walked up to me and he said, "Brother Will, I need to get saved." Over half the students who come to our Bible school, and some of those are pastors, they come and hear the truth. Chronological, line upon line, and precept upon precept, line upon line. We go through, we teach in Pidgin and English, and half the students who come, who served in their churches, half of them get saved because most of these people never heard about Adam and Eve. They don't know the story. They know a lot of New Testament, but they don't know anything about the foundation. And so we were there to help them do that. But we're really here to say thank you because you've invested in us and now you get to see that your fruit remains. And all these students, they have graduated and we have helped to, as I said on there, we have helped to evangelize, baptize, organize, and stabilize 5 indigenous churches. And we started one. And the man who was there, he kind of fell. And I have him with another missionary right now, helping him grow. And when we go back, we want to start a number 6 church and so forth. And so Rapid City has printed us 100,000 John and Romans. And actually, Pastor Danny left me know that they're leaving actually tomorrow, which would be today. We're one day ahead of you, 14 hours, 16 hours some places. And so they're probably out doing an evangelistic trip that him and I talked about, and I'm excited that they're going without me. Because my job is to get out of their way and let the national... Because one day I'm going to die. And I don't want the ministry to die. So I'm not there pastoring. I submit underneath our national pastor. And so I don't have to be afraid to let go. I never took hold. And so we're training nationals to do their own job. And we're excited about that. And so they're taking the rest of the John and Romans out. But I want to make this comfortable in the Sunday school hour. And so my wife, I want her to share some things. But this is open up to you. You are my supporting church. You are partners with us. And actually, I need to get away from my Bible because I'll start to preach. So I need to get away from that. I need to come down here. And by the way, my sending church is Rapid City. I just met the new pastor. We both fell in love with each other. I just love the guy. And I love your pastor. I've known his dad when I was in China for a long time. His dad and I are best of friends. And another week, I get to spend a week with him in Rapid City again. We head to Idaho this week and then come back. I'm trying to get into the VA to get new hearing aids, so that's a little bit slow, as you all well know. But this is like coming home to me, too. These two churches here are like one to me. And so I'm excited to be here. And like I say, I can never, if I said it 1,000 times, it would not be enough. I'm so grateful. I have been in the bush for 8 years. My wife has been out a couple times for our children, but I've never been out. I've been in the bush for 8 years, and I'm here. God put on my heart to come and give a report to people like you and just say, thank you so very, very much. Thank you for being behind us. Thank you so very, very much. If you have any questions, please ask. And so, yes, sir.
I noticed that there's quite a bit of English. Do you teach in English?
I teach in English and Pidgin. There's my wife understands the background of this. Would you answer that for him? Because she teaches English, and that's a good question. So, Trina, why don't you come up here, because that's where the mic is. Is that all right, guys, or can you?
Maybe is there a mic there? You put all the guys in a panic in the back, so they all jump because you got the mic. That's okay. I can project. Don't worry, Sam. I'm glad you asked that because we get lots of questions about language, right? First of all, Papua New Guinea is like not the size of Gilligan's Island. You know, a lot of people, they feel like every missionary they've ever met from New Guinea is going to be my neighbor. Actually, the island that contains the country of New Guinea is the second largest in the world, right after Greenland. And our island is split in half. Half belongs to Indonesia, and half is the independent nation of Papua New Guinea. There are over 800 tribal languages. In our own village, there are 5 represented. So it is not practical for us to do the Bible school in a tribal language. So Papua New Guinea's constitution,
Anybody else? Yes, Pastor, please.
You kept referring to the Bible as the Quran, but I know that's not what it is.
Oh, the Quran.
The Quran.
Okay. It's a.
I need to spread that word out. Thank you, Pastor. We teach, the foundation that we use is a chronological teaching. It was developed by new tribes. And don't go, oh, I understand some of the problems with new tribes, okay. But I buy the book, the books, and I teach the chronology, because it's the best to reach third world country. There's nothing better. I've tried all kinds of stuff. The best to reach the is using their chronological teaching. And where they're in error to us Baptists, I have the control, so I change it, okay, and then I make notes to that. So I make it do what God wants me to do with it. But it really is the best. And they get a complete collection of the chronological teaching because it covers from Genesis to Christ from an unbeliever's perspective. And then you go back and do Genesis to Christ on a believer's perspective. And in the midst of all that, when you do the book of Acts, it actually teaches you how to start a church in a bush. And so it's really, really... One of my men, he was thrown into a church as a pastor. He was a young man, and he didn't know anything. And they just threw him in. He had no idea. And when I came there on my survey trip, he said, "Brother Will, can you please train me? Can you please train me?" He cried. He said, "Can you please train me?" And he's one of the reasons God put me in a particular location. And then he went through... we were ending the first year and coming to the book of Acts. And when I taught through, he was sat in the back and he just lit up and he says, "Brother Will, I know how to start a church now." Wow. And boy, he is on fire and he's finished. By the way, when they go to build a church building, they don't have any machinery like you have here. They got bush knives and I have a bush knife in my hand almost every day. But they'll go out and gather in the bush and bring in, and sometimes a long walk all day long just to bring in a few. And they have to hand carry it and bring it. So it takes them about a year to bring in all the materials they need. And then it takes them another year to build it because they do it all by... They have no concrete. Okay, they have to dig everything by hand. And we use blinds and so forth. Now, when they do, you saw here... That I have mostly wood buildings. I have a few with the blinds. The blinds only last 3 or 5 years. Because I guess I should add into this. Did I answer your question, Pastor? We teach them many things. I will teach them doctrine. The chronological teaching isn't the only thing. You saw there, we teach them how to use the flannel graph. They learn how to preach in the market. I teach them outlines so they can preach in a service any hours. When I send them to the city... I say, you need to respect the pastor's time in Sunday school and church. So the hardest thing to get the bush people to do is to work with time. Because until the public schools came, they woke up when they wanted. They did their survival list. They survive. If they need firewood, they go get firewood. If they need to go fishing, they go fishing. They have no regimented time. But when they came to the school, all of a sudden, whoo! There's some regimented time, and we try to build structure in their life and some discipline. And that's why we use the whole family. I don't know where I was going with that before. Maybe my wife can have any other question. We teach them when they learn and practice soul winning. And I don't want to run out of time here, even in Sunday school. And if I see that I have a little time, I'll explain a whole... There's something happened to me before I started a school that convinced me how to start it with the whole family. And so I'll share that here. Now you're all going to not ask me a question. You want to know what that story is. Okay. Anyway, any other question before I dive into that little story? So there is no question. It's crazy or stupid. You are invested in me, so if there's anything at all, and you say, "Well, we don't know what we don't know." So, yes, ma'am.
Yes, these people are storytellers, right?
Oh, amen.
Their history from one tribe, their past, because they don't have any written language in most of their tribal.
Absolutely. You got that down.
Stories are very important to them from Adam and Eve, too. That's the
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And a chronological teaching is nothing but a combination of stories for them to do. That's, if you listen to the chronological teaching, it's filled with story. Everything is in a story. And every story that I do, now listen to me carefully, there is a lot of theology and doctrine. Okay. But they only get it through you. Ma'am, you've hit the nail on the head right there, because I can't teach them an American outline. I can't, they don't understand outline, A, B, C, D, or first, second, third point, whatever. Or they don't know homiletics, they don't know alliteration and all that kind of stuff. They don't understand it. It doesn't even work there, okay? And so what I do is my wife and I, even in her English class, she works through the Bible. But what we do is we teach them an outline using just for stories. Now, there's lots of history thing they can preach. Now, I give them some homiletics just because they can preach some things that don't have a story. But there's thousands of stories in the Bible, and they love to talk story. I mean, that's their life, way of life. So we teach them an outline to where they can work, and it actually tells this story. And they're natural. They are professional storytellers. They don't even know that. And so when they finally got a hold of that, we've had some of my staff members say, "Wow, Brother Will, Trina, we love this way." Why? Because it fits them. And I'm not there. Now, I don't mean to offend in any way. I'm just trying to let you know what I have. I'm not there to Americanize them. I'm there to bring them Christ. And I have to work very hard. Now, I believe that you understand what you've invested in me. Okay, but I have to work very hard. Here's what we say in the bush. I have to try to work to get the white. I'm a white skin there. They call me white skin. Missionary, Brother Will, or in the community say, "Hey, the white skin, whatever." Now they call me Brother Will because I've been there 8 years. So I'm a local now. Okay. But I have to work very hard of getting white out of me. What am I saying? Because there's so much American culture embedded in me that I never realized was in me. And that hurts my ministry. And so I'm not there to bring them American culture. I don't mean to offend you, but I'm there to bring them Christ and let Him produce Christ culture in them. Okay. My job is to train them in Christ. My job is not to Americanize them. And if I'd offend you, I'm sorry. That's not the purpose why I'm there. I'm there to shout the glory of God and make God look good. By the way, the reason our place looks like a campus is because I teach the guys wherever they go, you must make God look good and you must make Him look accurate. And I teach them. And people come all over the country in canoes just to see our property because it's the only thing that's really kept nice. You go outside of our fences, it's all bush and jungle and trails. Now, we do a lot of community service, and the people know. I mean, we've been there 8 years, so I'm a local joker there, okay? They actually call me. They say, "Brother Will, you're white on the outside, but you're one of us on the inside." Well, that's a great compliment from an unsaved person in the bush. And I have a garden. My wife and I, we have a big garden. That broke the ice. I carry a bush knife. I'm trimming bananas. I have my own garden, which has saved me a lot because I invest. That's what helps me to buy books for the library. And I have a garden that saves me a little bit of money. I try to stretch God's money. That's my coupon, my garden, okay? And so they see me work with them, and I'm not afraid. I just don't talk. I do. I'm a doer. I'm a task-oriented person. I'm a workaholic, but I'm still, that's what I do. I have to be doing something. I can't retire and sit like a couch potato and watch TV. I'd rather go home to the Lord. Okay? And I'd probably die because that's my home. I actually owned the land for 99 years. And so we have a house there and we own it. I mean, the people can't do anything about it. And so I'd probably die there. And I'm not trying to say anything, but I'm 71 and I've still got a lot of energy. I'm ready to go. And I just feel like I've got a fresh start, ready to boogie some more. That's an old 60s term that I... Okay, 60s. So anyway, I'm so excited to hear that from you. Anything else? Any other question? Yes, ma'am. Please.
Geographically,
I'm sorry?
Geographically, where is Papua New Guinea?
It's straight north of... Excellent question. See, I assume that you know a lot of stuff, and I should just... be a very good question. It is right north of Australia. Just direct... There is a point off of Australia, and that point almost points directly to my mission. In the what's our bay called? Deception Bay. This is the Deception Bay. Gulf of Papua. Yes. Okay. Now they call our people. We're in the swamps. We're not in the mountain. Most missionaries are in the highlands and the mountains. And that's where we started. But we're in the swamps, and we have two seasons: hot and boil. Okay. We have a rainy season, and we're in that now. We're opposite of you. Your summer is now. We consider the rainy season our winter. And it gets very... Right now, Pastor Danny said they're walking in the mud, okay, with gum boots, okay? Usually I'm preaching in cargo pants and bare feet, okay? But they're... And the sea gets rough. So during the rainy season, most of the time, we can't even leave. We're there. Now, it's good for the students because we can teach. But I cannot take a supply run in the middle of rainy season because I can't. Our airstrip is not cleaned anymore, and the sea gets rough with that... That 23-foot U-boat gets pretty small when you're out in the middle of the sea, and the waves get a little rough. Okay, and so
she had a second question.
Maybe, yes, would you answer that one, honey? I want to give you a chance to talk.
That's like a short answer, though. We pray.
We pray. Go ahead, honey.
Thank you.
allow you to pray that I slow down. But every medical thing, and we watch, we have a garden, so we, if we have, now we don't have any meat sources very much at all, and sometimes we bring in processed meat, because that's probably the worst thing for us, but nevertheless, sometimes we like meat, so we'll bring the crazy stuff like Spam or tuna in a can, the bush people call tin fish, so they always tin fish, so whatever. But everything to us, if I get hurt, everything is an emergency. So I would have to call for a chopper, and just for a 20-minute ride to me and take me back is like $3,000. And so now we are required medical insurance, so we have major medical. Now, once a year, I should tell you this, once a year we go to Cairns, Australia, during our term break. So in the winter, when you just have a Christmas holiday, it is our summer vacation. So we're opposite. So during our Christmas, our school ends the 1st of December and starts up February the first week. And so that's our, we call it Christmas break only because the American Christmas holiday. And we don't even hardly celebrate. How do you celebrate Christmas when it's 104? So, but we go to a couple weeks in December or January. I'm sorry.
I told you. Do you have a 2x4 back there? Okay. So when we go to Cairns, and the only one of the two reasons we go for is I do medical and get some labs done, so I can. I go there pre maintenance, if you please. I go to get my what you call my nuts and bolts adjusted in my body. Okay. And I get my hearing aids repaired every year because it's high humidity and high sun, and corrosion and wet destroys these. Any electronics that we have, my engines, if I don't use the generator, if I don't use the weed eater or a push mower very much, I got to keep them running, because if you go to save them and let them set, they rust up and corrode, and they're worse setting than they are using. And so my hearing aids, they last about 10 to 12 months, and 12 is pushing it. So I have a regular family doctor in Cairns after being there 8 years. He's a good guy. I can't even pronounce his last name. We just call him Dr. John, okay? And he's from one of the Middle East countries that don't even care. So, but he's a family doctor, and I have a regular place audio. Actually, I'm hoping that the VA will help me with that, because if I go back to Cairns without them, it'll cost me $7,500 just for another set of hearing aids. And so you pray that the VA will give me an appointment and give me some nice hearing aids. And so we go there, we do scans and labs, and that comes out of our pocket, because they're on... Australia is on somewhat government funded, but they have to pay into it with the work. But me as a U.S. citizen, I'm not qualified to do that. So everything we do, it's pre-maintenance. So I can go back. A lot of it is for me to go back in peace, that I'm not going to have an emergency right away. Well, I'm supposed to be done in 2 minutes, and so I cannot do that. I'll do that during my message. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. Trina said you go for groceries about twice a year.
Yes, ma'am.
Are groceries expensive at the capital? And another question is, do you pay taxes on your land?
We don't pay. I guess that's yes. I would normally, I have 15 acres, we call it 5 hectares, I have 15, I actually own it for 99 years. I said, if you look at the ownership out my display. But I had a guy, when I was getting the title, put exemption of property taxes. I would be paying something like $400 or $500 a year on that, and he exempted me, so it's free. God just worked a miracle. Amen. In fact, you're the first one who made me think about that miracle, because it's not small. And your other question was about groceries. My wife has to... Ladies, how would you like to go to Port Moresby? It takes about 16 hours one way to get there. 6 hours on a dinghy in the sea. And then a PMV bus, an old military truck. And 8 to 10 hours on the highway to get to the mission house. And then she has to work out a menu for 6 to 9 months. So God just gives her wisdom.
So, yes, a shopping trip obviously is very expensive.
The other day and said, Brother Will, I've watched it for the third time, and he says, I'm getting something new all the time. So this is on the front page of my website, the video. Please, in the comfortable of your own house with your kids, you might want to see it again. Okay? And so please, pick up a card. If for no other reason, you're my partner, you pray for us. And we want to pray for you. Let us know what some of your priorities are, because we're a family, and we'd like to care and pray for you as you do for us. Pastor, thank you.
Yeah.